Sometimes money can get in the way of your best intentions. Marty Obermann entered politics out of the 1960s anti-war movement, filled with idealism. He served as an alderman for over a decade and earned a reputation as a reformer against the Democratic machine. Hoping he could have a greater impact, he sought higher office for Illinois Attorney General. But all along the way, he had to raise money, and he realized it was changing him from the very beginning.
2 or 3 weeks after I was elected in 1975, a neighbor of mine, I was out walking my dog, and he came up to me, and he was a good friend and supporter, and he said, "Boy, you have really offended so-and-so." And I stunned. I didn't know what he was talking. I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "2 days ago, you walked right past this guy on LaSalle Street and didn't say hello, didn't even acknowledge him, and he gave you $100. I didn't know what he was talking about. I'm sure I did walk past him on LaSalle Street. I was probably in a conversation or in thought. Then this friend of mine really chewed me out. Well, that doesn't have to happen too many times before you reflexively start smiling and shaking hands and sounding phony to everybody you meet. You don't know if they gave you money, if they're going to give you money. You become a glad hander, but you don't have a choice. This is what it does to you. This is an event that happened in 1986. And I had been very aggressively fighting the construction of yet another high-rise in the Lincoln Park area. And as I was gearing up a campaign for Attorney General, a check arrived for $1,000. It was no huge amount. In an envelope from the developer, who I had been bitterly opposing, the check was written by a name I'd never heard of. And I called him up. I said, "Who is this check from?" And he said, "Oh, it's from some in-law of somebody in the company." And there was nothing the least bit illegal about this transaction that I could see. But the circumstances were such that it was kind of a message to say, you know, there's a lot more where this came from. I put the check in my desk drawer because I didn't want to accept it. We desperately needed money. I didn't want to turn it back. And the check just sat there for 2 or 3 weeks. And every day I came into the office, and every day I felt really terrible that I had this check sitting in my desk. And it was sort of like the check was burning in there and burning me. And the really question was, well, am I really the person that I wanted to be by going into public office if I accept this person's check? Because it would hardly be a mystery to imagine that if I accepted this check and more came, that the day was going to come when he came by and really put some pressure on to get this building approved. Finally, one morning I came in and I said, "Send this check back." It was like getting a big weight off my shoulder. I didn't like myself during those 3 weeks. I recognize that I am only human, and I'd been okay up until that point, but I didn't know what might happen to me in future years. Maybe someday I wouldn't resist. My first real experience with having to raise significant money was when I decided that I really wanted to run again for Attorney General. We were about 4 weeks away from the election, and we just had enough money coming in to function. We had no media budget at all. And my media advisor was Don Rose. Don said, "Look, the only chance we have, if we could get $250,000 for a television buy, maybe we could make enough of a dent to be in the race." And we didn't have $250,000. So somebody sitting in the room said, "Well, there isn't enough time to find enough donors at $500 or $1,000. Why don't we try to find 25 people who will put up $10,000? We decided to do this. So I got on the phone and I started making appointments to meet with people who had already supported me or people who were likely supporters. And I went in and I got so immersed in the process and the going from office to office and succeeding and coming back saying, "Gosh, I just got this commitment." We met that goal and a little more, but I lost 60-40 to Hardigan, who was running for re-election. And after the campaign, as I had a chance to sit back and reflect on the fact that I went up to perfect strangers and with a perfectly straight face say, "Would you write a check for $10,000? When you're running for alderman, mostly you're asking people for 100 or 50. It isn't so much that you don't feel like, look, this is for the cause. But when you're asking somebody for $10,000, and when the words $25,000 fell out of my lips, I couldn't believe that I was hearing my own voice say this the first few times. you sort of lost track of why was I running for Attorney General. All I knew, I had to focus on getting this money or there wouldn't be a campaign. On the rare occasion, and it was extremely rare, that I would be sent out to make a speech to a group, which is, after all, what most of us want to do if we're in politics. We want to go tell people, here's a better idea. I have a better idea. Vote for me so I can do it. When I was making a speech, I was feeling guilty that I wasn't at the phone calling people for money. In 1994, of course, I was running against Al Hofeld. There was one person who had given the campaign $10,000 early in the campaign, extremely wealthy person. This was late in the campaign, a couple of weeks to go, and we still did not have anywhere near enough money for the television that we wanted to buy. And I was in the car being driven to an editorial interview in the outlying counties. And by that time, I had a cell phone. And I had been told to call this person again. He had been talked to, that he probably would put up more money. And I didn't know what to ask for. I'd already been asking people for $10,000, $25,000. And I remember sitting in the car with the person who was driving me to this interview saying, how much do you think I should ask for? And we were saying, well, I could certainly ask for another 10. He gave 10. Maybe we should ask for 25. There's not much time. As I'm dialing the phone, I remember this very clearly. I said, the heck with it. I'm going to ask for 50. What difference does it make? And to my absolute shock, he said, let me think it over. And within a day or two, he'd sent $50,000 to the campaign. And I knew then that I did not want to be doing this. I mean, why would a person write a check like that? One had to assume that he didn't give the $50,000, not thinking that someday he might want to ask for something. And I really felt bad about myself. And at the end of that campaign, which I lost also 60-40, I said to my wife, I am never going to get on the phone and ask anybody for that kind of money again, ever. I don't care if I ever run for anything. I will not do it. I haven't done it. To me, instead of getting easier, cumulatively, over each time I ran for office, three times as alderman and three separate efforts to run for attorney general, it got worse and worse. The amounts needed were greater. The need to just get the money, regardless of how you got it and who was giving it, became greater. You know, people listening to this will say, well, you never won, so it's just sour grapes. And I suppose there is some sour grapes to it. But I felt that it defeated the purpose, for me anyway, of wanting to get into public office in the first place, if you had to take this kind of money. And that was something that was very hard for me to accept. And my wife Bonnie might tell you I've never accepted it. It was hard. I miss being in public office and having the chance to go to work every day and affect public policy. It really is a rare opportunity. Most people do not get a chance to do it. And I'd always told myself, well, you know, I'm going to be different. I'm going to do it differently. That's why I'm here. And just couldn't do it.
Marty Oberman has been out of politics since 1994. He's currently an attorney in private practice.